Like, is God through Christ the focus, or is my story the focus? Do I show his words have lasting value and direction? Or do I need some experience like my own? Let me find some book to give me purpose in life. The best books are going to point you back to his words as they have lasting value and direction. What are the daily results proving I value fellowship with him and honor his word? That I show eternal kingdom perspective. Does my perspective always include more than my experiences? This is the direction of right fruit and right focus. Okay, we talked about that a couple weeks. I think we're starting to get what we're talking about. But we said, okay, if you can follow that at all, the hardest thing for us is to bring this down and make it practical in how we're living every day, okay? If this cross-shaped fruit is lasting and eternal, what are the implications for us individually and as churches if no matter how good our intentions, we've focused on other fruit? What will it look like if I'm not looking for a perfect you, I'm looking for if you followed that trajectory we read there in Colossians, and again, just reading it once quickly, it's easy for you and I to see something different. You need time to sit inside of that. But if you followed that trajectory of where he said their focus was and what they valued, all right, it would produce a certain result that was changing our affections. I just went through examples of that. What happens if we have focused on other fruit? Where will our actions be focused? What will be valuable? How will we feel? Where have we unwittingly contributed to the problem even while we're trying to fix it? Now, you said a little bit up there. On the ride home 2 weeks ago, Dirk says, well, obviously it's, and I'll tell you what he said in a minute, but what are you thinking? What will it look like if we focused on other fruit? Where will our actions be focused? Where will the feelings be focused? If you don't want to implicate yourself, think about all those other bad churches. Or think what's wrong with this church. Okay? What do you think? What's the negative result of focusing in the wrong direction? Is that you, Nicole? Okay. I don't think we quite got there with the men's fellowship when we read the book Tell the Truth. It was a book I recommended years ago. I think Mark Dever said this, read this book about evangelism. I think it went over the head. It was a tough one to follow. But I'll never forget where it said, if you don't touch the soul inside of your interaction with them, you're not giving the gospel. You're looking for soul touches. You're not looking. You don't have to confront them. You don't have to look for the sale. You don't have to. But soul, what is their soul? Youth advisors are reading a tiny little book called Caring for Each Other. And it's talking about how are you starting to build relationships with others. And it said, okay, fine. First, ask them how their day is and what they did and what they and then from there find out what they're valuing. You know, what would you do? School? Did you like it? No. Well, which part did you like? Did you not like the most? Well, no. Okay. Well, which class did you like? English or history? I don't know. Neither. Okay. Why don't you like either? They're boring. Okay. Why are they boring? All right, this is the worst conversation, all right? But this is how some of them go. You go, well, I tried to talk to them, I didn't get anywhere, all right? By the way, most kids hate that you ask them about school. So you say, I could ask you how your school went, or tell me what else was valuable in your day, okay? But then follow it to value statements. It's boring because, well, it's not interesting, okay? What is interesting inside of your life, okay? Well, video games, right? So I think it was telling you I'm not a big Fortnite fan. I'm a little concerned about shoot 'em up games, direct shoot 'em up, where we're not just hunting deer, you're hunting people, and they're very real or whatever. So all these kids are playing Fortnite, okay? So the public school kids, I asked them, I said, all right, fine. Instead of going on that's bad, I said, all right, what do you like about Fortnite? And they went on and on about all the different side things you see, the outfits that people were wearing, the little prizes you get, the things on the side. I don't even know the game. But I was like, I thought the thrill of the hunt, the actually winning the game, destroying the enemy, you know, whatever. And they couldn't even say that. So I said, okay, because there's blood and junk all over that movie. I said, all right, how about this? I said, do you imagine what it would look like if you had to stop and have a funeral for every person you shot? How would that make the game? Oh, that would stink. Okay, why would that stink, all right? Because somebody, I said, when you shot that person's dog came running up and was howling, saying, you just killed my master, right? The little kid came up to him, whatever, and fine, all right, you did what you had to do. I mean, obviously, you had to win this game, right? So you took him out. All right, but there's a whole bunch of people gathering around all these bodies. You know, I was thinking, where is the worth of humanity inside of there? From there, it said, once you could figure out what the kid values, they said, how do you bring God into a conversation? Now, I'll tell you how we used to do it is, you know, we either said you need to be saved, or we either said, what do you think about God? Do you realize you're separated from God? And it's like, do you realize you need a context for all that? Who is God to the people you're talking to? Where does God fit? And you go, well, I don't have time for that. I'll just leave it in the Lord's hands. No, stop. You need to start thinking, what can I find out that's normal about their common perception about God, and where do I need to start? You can look at Mars Hill in Acts 17, but then you have to think, is our people even different than the Mars Hill people? What does it look like when in Mars Hill they cared about philosophy and thinking? In today's day, they don't value that, but they just think they're right. And their thinking is propped up by their feeling. How do you bring God into that? We're talking about how we unwittingly contribute to this problem, okay? And if you're not careful, the quick God that you gave them, you go, well, I had no other way to do it. No, you have to think through in a way. I keep thinking zip files. You know, zip files are the ones you download that are too big, and then you have to extract and open them up, and there's tons of stuff inside of that file, but it comes across. You have to have pregnant statements that if they open them, will lead them to cross-shaped fruit. Are you thinking about that, like Stan said, when you're interacting with people? And you go, what? Well, maybe, and that's why in that little Ed Welch book, just a couple pages, but we've taken a couple weeks because I didn't want to just read it and go find out what they like, find out what they value, find out what is lasting, find out how to bring God into it. And I'm just like, wait, are we doing any of this? And that's where you hear my sarcasm with, somebody has cancer in here? Good. Organize the meals. Like, I hope they like them. They'll probably recover. No, they won't. Tell them they'll recover. Do they think they'll recover? I don't. All of a sudden, you're facing death, and all we can think of is mobilizing the hospitality stuff. You go, no, I just didn't know what else to say. So I told them about all the people I knew that had cancer. I don't know how to do it perfectly either. But maybe if we were used to touching the soul ahead of time, we'd have a foundation for talking about eternal things when we face death. Maybe. So if we've been focusing on other fruit, our service with the loose thought of, I was trying to care for you. I thought you needed encouragement. We're trying, but maybe we never get there. What are you thinking? Where will we focus? What will we feel like? What are the feelings that are going to, what is our work going to look like inside of a church if we focused on other fruit? What do you think? This is negatively. Don't fix the problem yet. What will the church, where will the life be inside of the church if we focused on other fruit? What will we be protecting? What will we have to watch out for? Okay? What will the fruit of the Spirit actually live like inside of a church if we focused on the wrong fruit? What are you thinking about, Sheldon? Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there and looking at it, and they're pleased at what they have done for me, and I don't even know what it is. And I'm sitting there, and I'm supposed to appreciate it, and I appreciate it because of the effort they have. But if they would dare stand there, both of them, and try to outdo each other to try to please me, it wouldn't mean anything to me. Maybe it would mean something to me, but it would be like, you guys are just fighting amongst yourselves. You don't even care about pleasing.
Okay. Do you hear that? We're going to be constantly aware of what the other people around us are doing. It's like, well, I did one too. I did one too. Look at my picture. Well, you're looking at my picture and you go, well, no, that's childish. You think of the adult version of that. Right? Bring that up. You get Timmy and Azariah, right? You bring that up to your picture of a holy God. And us saying, I was serving you, I tried, I know I'm a sinner, I don't deserve to be in your presence and all that, but I tried. I said hi to people, I just wanted to go home and eat pizza, but I stayed and said hi. And I saw somebody was almost tripped on their way to their car, and I helped them up. Okay, good for you. It's like, that's a rough picture of an insecurity. You think, good night, my children tried to do something to please me. And instead of that, you're watching them and you think, my children, oy vey. Right? Because it's like, it's that one kid come up and give it, that's fine. Two kids come up and they're clamoring for your, read mine. There's, I don't know, let's just say a me-centered comparison in service and behavior. What do you think? What will happen? Where were the feelings? What will your feelings be? Where will your focus be? What will we have to protect? What will the life of the church focus if it's not on cross-centered fruit? Tracy, what are you thinking? Rabbit trail, go. No, take your trail. Right. We must. Yep.
You know, being like Christ. I mean, we can't be our Christian sacrificing. But I guess maybe I'm thinking myself personally, you know, I want to be more like my Lord, as well as I want to do, obviously, because I want to serve. But I think he's looking at who are you as an individual.
No, I'm looking back in Colossians to back up what you're saying. You know, as you talk about, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, the love which you have for all the saints, and you go, oh yeah, I'm showing love, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, the cause is the hope laid up for you in heaven. Go, Tracy. They're not earthly good, right?
But I think that's a falsehood, personally. We are supposed to be heavenly minded. We are supposed to be focused on who we're serving, and that is our hope. That is our future. That's where your treasure is. There's where your heart will be. So to me, that's where our focus should be.
Right. Well, you know, you think about that. All right, just play the guy-girl infatuation, whatever, dating, courting, whatever, it's right or wrong. You get a little skittish about all of it in today's day when we don't know how to do relationships. Everything's focused on physical and sex. But you think when there is an attraction together, you think about it, it doesn't matter what you're doing. The doing becomes an excuse to be together. Right? You're just trying, what are we going to do this weekend? What are we going to do tonight? It's like, we're going to talk. It's like, well, come on, let's go. It's like, you get a lot of ice cream or something just to be together, right? The economy profits from you wanting to be with her or him, right? It does. There's just another customer. It's just like, no, you're focused on who you're with, right? So this gaze in here, that's what we're talking about. Not just clamoring and saying, here, I drew you a picture, okay? You're going with him. He's coming with you with that. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted in him. If you look at Colossians 1 and 2, complete in Christ. His whole focus is on that, not on, do you know, those clothes are immodest and all, you know, all right, that music's a little rough. It's like, just keep going with him, and something happens with that. You see that in chapter 3, but it's in chapter 3 that it happens, okay? It's that you're walking along, and you want to please him, so it's not just, oh, do I have to get rid of that too? Oh, you having a problem with this? All right, it's a whole different disposition. So the flip side, she said, being, all right, well, that's on the good side, but we're looking on the bad side. What's going to happen in a place where we're focused on the wrong fruit? Doing is going to be the focus rather than cultivating that relationship. Relationship with God. With God. Not with me or with them. With God. Careful. I've told you there's another extreme that I felt as people realize how bereft or empty their faith is. I said, I feel like we're surrounded in today's Christianity by takers, the holy ones and the unholy ones. All right? The holy ones are, just give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. Oh, you're not on Jesus. You're talking about bowling. Just give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. And they're so focused on give me Jesus that they're just as selfish. So careful with how, but the doing is going to be where the energy is. Look at all I'm doing. Well, it sounds like you're doing a lot with your church. It's like, no, our church has a responsibility. I think when our youth group went to West Point for a couple of football games, before the football game is a couple parades, I always imagine what those cadets have to do. You know, that was just part of their day. On Saturday, every Saturday there's a football game, you will get up and report to da-da-da field, and you will be ready to be properly dressed in formation. You didn't go there, and I guess unless you were their dad or mom, you didn't care about any one of them individually. You saw them collectively. They collectively took their place in their presentation. You look at 1 Peter 2, that's what we're doing here at church. Yes, you're important. Yes, I'm important. Yes, 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 yes. But it's more us collectively gathering for the heavenly presentation, 1 Peter 2, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. You also, you plural, as living stones are being built up into a spiritual house to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And go. But then it goes, for this is contained in Scripture, a stone, precious cornerstone, right? The one who trusts in him will never be disappointed. Colossians, I told you, when we had to go through that in Bible college, you had to give a theme to Colossians. Colossians is the preeminence of Christ. The preeminence of Christ. You come to Hebrews and you see the same thing. Christ is better. Why? You go, oh, yes, 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 Christ. But then where are we focusing? That's what I'm saying. Now we finally see something's off. Off. Yes, you better help me if I trip. But how are we having ministry that includes the soul? Don't just throw a verse in there. That was also what we did. Here's a tract. Read this. Here's a verse. This is the verse God gave me. I'm only mocking it to say, why were you saying it? Well, I don't know. Well, fine. I won't do it. I don't have right motives. No, you're going to bumble your way toward this, and that's what we're going to talk about next. If we've been misguided, what will it look like to head there? But come on, anything else here on Where will we, what will be, if somebody comes in, touches the spiritual temperature on a church, and then they take a poll of every one of the members, where will the focus be? Okay, where will the feelings be if we focused on other fruit? Brad.
Where the body would generally have a unity and conformity to adhering to the standards set by God, I'm thinking mainly for the purposes of ministry. If everybody is ministering rather than the standards set by God. As far as what satisfies him, if the main focus is on what satisfies the individual, everybody's going to be going by a different standard based on who they're ministering to. What satisfies one person may not be enough for another person. Likewise, what works or what doesn't work for one person may work for another. Also, likewise, if you minister to one person and you minister in another way to another person, the previous person you ministered to is potentially going to be feeling jealousy that somebody's going to be getting more attention than me or something like that. If we're always adhering to the whims of the individual rather than the whim of our God, there's never going to be any unity within the body, and everybody's going to be clamoring for the approval of everyone around them.
So, family devotions has been a rough ride. I me as a personality, I'm me as a pastor, how should the pastor be doing things with his family, and you know, a lot of pressure, I don't know, you know. And then you turn around, it's like, I read the Bible, where was their head? On the salt shaker, on touching the kid's feet across from them, on, you make one comment of application, and they all go off laughing, and then another one feeds on that, and that, and that, and that, and that, and all of a sudden, we're talking about Star Wars. You know, it's like, where'd that come from? Okay? And you try to pull it back, and you go, what have I said? And they look at you like, what? No, I'm talking to you. What did I say the last 10 minutes? Like, wow. Well, one of those instances, I was down with my sister-in-law in Carolina, and she looked at me, and I was talking about this, and she said, you know what? I think that's what made my dad give up. All the stupidness that goes on when you're just trying to get the gospel into heads, to meditate on something. They all had a different focus. So if I focused on this one to get one thing across, hey, you, look at me, look at me, look at me, you, I think you're the best. Well, now we got to face that if they do answer and give you what you want, well, the others are like, do the eye roll, like, thanks, you just sold us down the river, made us look bad, and you think you're so good. You want me to tell mom what I saw last night about you? Play that out on the adult version. Because that's what he's saying. I mean, come on, dude, you're in Colossians. Look at the Galatians 5:1. You know this, right? Galatians 5. You know, they're talking the circumcision kind of stuff. The justified by law, okay? I'm going to come back to that idea in a minute here. But he says, you are called to freedom, verse 13. Brethren, only do not turn this freedom to an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you're not consumed by one another. I say, walk by the Spirit, you'll not carry out the desire of the flesh. The flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, Spirit against the flesh. These are in opposition to one another, so you may not do the things you please. Well, that sounds like law to me. If you are led by the Spirit, though, you're not under the law. It sounds like there's a different law. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. Don't look at those words themselves. Look at the feelings, desires, emotions that lead to every one of those things. Because most of us don't go around and said, oh yeah, that one's me, that one's me. We quickly look and go, I don't think that's me, I don't think that's me. Well, sometime, but I don't think that's me. Just think about what surrounds that. So some may go, well, I don't know, but you're swimming in those waters. I warned you that those who practice such things, this is your lifestyle, you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. No, here's what happens when you are led by the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control against such things. There's no law. They're a law unto themselves. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Where have we unwittingly contributed to the wrong fruit? You ain't going to like this. By somebody listening to you saying, I can't learn like that. By somebody saying, I think those people were mean, you go, well, I don't think they meant that. Well, what if they did? You focus on Christ, and what do you think? The reproaches of those who have reproached you have fallen on me. There's a prophecy said about Christ then, and then we were told to follow in his steps. Why is the youth group easier, even though it's draining? Because I can get to the sins of their heart a lot easier than I can get to us older ones. You could see it. But don't go after the fruit, go after the root. The root is where you get those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. That's where Brad is living. He's saying chaos. So family devotions is like that. Kindergarten was like that. As opposed to the unity of the Spirit for the purposes Christ as head of the church, Colossians, intends for the body. No. What works for one doesn't work for me. No. You cannot say slave or free, male or female, Jew or Gentile, And you put all them together with all their emotional baggage, our terms today, and say, no, they need to have the gospel applied, because realize they twitch every time you say that. There's something greater than that. I'm not saying it's not hard. I'm saying you have emasculated the gospel when you focus all on the environment rather than on the substance. You're going to have chaos. That's what I think. You know, West Point, it's like, well, I had to study for an exam last night. I couldn't find my socks, so I got one of them. That doesn't work at West Point. You show up with your uniform. I don't care. You know, my mommy didn't teach me how to do the washing machine, so it all turned pink. I don't care. You find something and get out here. You're not going to be the pink one in the lineup. Right? See, you go, well, that's harsh. Well, then we better figure out what it is to be found in him, not having a righteousness of our own. Or there's going to be chaos, because we're going to spend all our energies trying to make sure everybody feels like they're a part. Are you okay? I'm not mad at you. I'm really not mad at you. I don't think they're mad at you either. I don't think they meant to be mad at you. That takes a lot of work. To run around and help everybody to be okay. What are you thinking? It's a little harsh. Go ahead, Sheldon. No? No, he doesn't dare say it. You see it. You want to read his forehead. Go ahead.
I know I pick on my background a lot for the conformity and the things that leads to, but I think there's a seed in all of us that postures towards being accepted. Like when I came
that,
to this,
that.
When I came to this church, like this was a totally new experience. Like I had not rejected, but chose not to become a part of the church in my background. And so even though I wanted the gospel, and that's what drew me here with the preaching, and it lined up with where I had seen my values that I got out of Scripture more, but it was still, I think, underneath everything, there's this, okay, how do they do things here? What do I need to do to not make waves, you know, the things of that nature? And where Colossians 3:20 goes is about, if you died with Christ, why are you worried about taste, not touch, not handle, not whatever, which they seem to have an appearance of value, but against fleshly indulgence, they're totally useless. And so when it comes to the heart issues, we spend so much time, I think, maybe subconsciously, I doubt we do it totally consciously,
no,
but trying to,
right,
trying to fit, trying to look good with holiness on the surface without really engaging at the level where we need to go after the fruit of what true holiness is about. We make it look good. We go after the appearance of holiness without getting to the bottom of it.
Yeah. Now, we're not saying to Colossians 3:20, Colossians 2:20, Colossians 2:20. It's 2:20. Yeah, there you go, Faith. Sorry. We're not saying get rid of, see, the evangelical world has swung the pendulum and saying the outside doesn't matter. We're not saying that. For starters, just do the you tithe mint, dill, and cumin, but you neglected the weightier laws of righteousness, peace, whatever. You should have done the latter without neglecting the former. You look at, you cannot be with God's and go, well, I haven't gotten over this murdering thing. Just what happens. When I get angry, psh, you're dead. I snapped your neck. I don't know. It's a bad habit. I'm working on it, all right? I killed less last week. And, you know, well, that's what I'm saying. You bring that, that's what we're saying. We're saying part of my French, right? Whatever we're saying is that's who I am, okay? So we're not saying it's okay, all right? You say, all right, if I'm working on it, I murdered one less, okay, we'll add another life sentence to you, all right? Another life sentence. You're in there forever, all right? Well, come on, don't I get off? Didn't Christ set me free? Yes, but you just snapped their neck. You're done. Okay? All right? So, meaning there are consequences, but we're saying we're not going deep enough when we're looking for what holiness is. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if the whole focus is on, you're right, it's making us very insecure. I have the gospel. It changed my life, my whole eternal destiny. I was in the flesh, now I'm in the spirit. You don't think I prayed right? Oh, I'm sorry. The last church, we prayed like this. Well, I can't come in late in this church. In every other church I come into, I come in late and they like me. Well, don't worry. You come in late in this church. We're all late here, right? There's two people here that have looked at their watch every time you walk in. There's two people. Don't shame on those people. They're on time all the time. We're focusing so much on fitting that we haven't focused on our identity. You have died and your life is hid. I can't. Oh, I just can't. It's too much pressure in there. All right, so I'm 4 months, 5 months behind in World Magazine, and I'm reading an article about an Amish ministry in Ohio. Where, Dwight County? No, I don't know. I got to... What? No, not those two. So must, and you guys aren't Amish, and those communities don't always run together then, right? So this one was an Amish one. But they were talking about the pressure that you feel, the shunning and all that stuff. So to not question, and then once they get out, how hard, well, first it's hard to get out, but then once they, if they come out of that, okay, and they were referring to that Colossians verse, to whoever I was reading about, as a thing that was freeing them, okay, once they got out, then it's still hard to get past that whole thing of fitting in with the group. And you go, well, we are supposed to fit in. Yes, but we're asking, where's your focus? Where's the focus? There's something, all right? You want to be that kindergarten kid that's always listening? That's always doing what the teacher wants? That always, and then you get good grades and everybody else doesn't? Some of it because you were smart, some of it because you were just paying attention? You were just paying attention? Why is there so much pressure about, well, I can't fit in that church. I think they all think they're better than me. Remember, we've said this before. Imagine if they are, were all better than you. We're all holier. You should be then saying, this is what I want. These people, they'll take me. Because if they are holier, they're going to continue to be looking at Christ no matter what. And you're going to have less of that chaos. How about the one more passage, James? You know this, James 3. James 3, right? Yes. So here's the root fruit thing, right? 12, can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine tree produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let us show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. Meaning, there's something that's going to calm your heart. What is that, according to Colossians? But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, there it is. I'm going to get my picture to daddy first. You know, all my kids are running to the door to greet me. No, they're running to the door to tell me who's better. If you have bitter jealousy, daddy always takes your picture first. And selfish ambition in your heart. Do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes from down from above. It's earthly, natural, demonic. That's not just name calling. It's saying it's ungodly. It's not from here. It doesn't belong. Where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, here's Brad, what he said. There's disorder and every evil thing. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruit. We all focus on stop. You're all worked up about not what should Christians be worked up about? And if before you say, well, don't get worked up at all. If in doubt, don't get worked up. You see the verse right before we read in Galatians? He was talking about circumcision. And we're adults. He said, you're circumcised? I wish you'd just cut off that thing that you circumcised. That's what he said in the verse right before. He said, I wish they'd just mutilate themselves. Cut it off. Good. It's done. We're done talking about that. Good. Now let's look at the Spirit. That's what he said. That was back in Galatians. That was the verse right before. See, the looks on your faces is like, I don't believe you. I can't believe you just said that. Okay, so then you got to go back and look at it. Go look at it. Verse 12. Verse 11. Galatians 5:11. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. He's saying, if we do everything the way you used to do it, and then we just add Christ in here, you're not realizing how much of an identity the cross is supposed to be. It is your whole life. It's found in here. Not in your, we can't understand it. All we think of about is sexual thoughts. We think of circumcision. I don't know how that worked. I don't know why. Are you circumcised or aren't you? We think of it as a physical thing, as a sexual thing. For them, it was their those uncircumcised Philistines. Look at the next. I wish that those who were troubling you, those of the circumcision, would even mutilate themselves. Follow every footnote you got on that. That's what we're saying. Get it off. We're done. It's that bad. You end up with insecurity, unstable people. And now you can hear Hebrews saying, I gave you milk, not solid food. You weren't ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready for it. Go ahead. What do you have? Any other thoughts?
If I'm starting in the spirit, but ending up in the flesh,
mm-hmm.
Like it's easy to start off strong, but then let all these other things creep in and quench what the original salvation was all about, and we start adding back to it again.
Then regress. That's the whole point. When it says encourage one another so you're daily, so you're not hardened by sin's deceitfulness, there it is. Oh, you watched that bad movie this week? Yeah, whatever. The bigger thing is you change your focus of your identity. That's what we're here to say. You're right. Somewhere, our language or whatever, somehow that has to be addressed. But you have to get this focus, because I was with Stan's relatives, and I don't know where they are with the gospel. I'll tell you, I told you that before. I don't know what Merv felt like, but I felt like a fish out of water, because that was as pike as I've ever been. I was like, I told you, I was a little ticked at Stan because he showed up late. So Merv and I walked in, and I go, is this where we're supposed to be? They go, you know, I guess. And I said, well, is this a Stan birthday party? Oh, Stanley. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, I said, well, he's coming, right? And they go, yes. Can we be here? I guess. Okay. Okay. Women over there, the men over here. We're sitting there, whatever, chatting, and then playing Rook. And I'll never say I play Rook again. Every move I made was wrong. All right? They were good. They were real good. But you start thinking everything we're talking here, where would I start? How do I even find a connection? Right? If I can't even get past, you know, I wore jeans instead of shorts. Man, it was hot. All right? But I wore jeans. I didn't want to be offensive. But then I looked around. I thought, nobody else in here has jeans. I didn't have those home pants or whatever kind of pants those were. I didn't have them. So I thought, where do I start? They go, you're the minister, aren't you? And it's like, yup. What can I talk about? My kids getting a driver's license? The movies we're watching? What can I talk? Could I check my phone for something? He asked for a devotional, and then the one that we were hosting it at said, well, maybe they better not, because these guys might get in trouble if they found he went too long. Well, then he said, okay, he could talk, but just keep it short. Okay? Well, can I look at my phone? And later it said, well, I guess he said I could have looked at my phone, but I was late because I ran out to my car to write down all the verses quick because I thought I probably even have the wrong translation of the Bible. I don't know. I felt out of place. But as I talked to them about what I do, as I thought, their ministers are real ministers because they work hard all day and then they do the things of God. And what do? Sit in the room, talk about the Bible, and then help people. So I tried to explain that to them, and I saw a couple relieved looks on their face. They were very friendly. We had a good night. I enjoyed being with them. And whoever's house we were in ran into me at Shady Maple. And Michael, whoever, Brubaker, I ran into him, and he comes over and grabs me. And he was with all his guys, right? He had no problem coming. It was a great night. But when I explained some of the problems of what we're wrestling with, you could almost see a relieved look on their face, and it was like, well, we don't have those problems. We follow God. We hear the right teaching about God. And they do. Tracy. Shoot.
I guess I don't understand.
Here, you're going to get mic'd. Yes. No, just keep it right there.
I ain't loud enough. I hate this.
No, this is for when you listen on during the week on the internet. Go ahead. You just lost
me. Yeah, you lost me.
Go ahead.
What I don't understand is, with your meeting with, I guess, Stanley's family and stuff.
Right.
If it's the same God, if it's the same Holy Spirit, I don't know. I don't understand. Like, how can?
Right.
I'm lost. Please
no,
forgive me.
How can we get there?
Yeah. I mean, how? What is the barrier? If it's the same God, the same Holy Spirit, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. If that's the case, shouldn't there be an automatic connection?
There should be. But see, the very fact that, remember that I said that we had this two-year discussion on why we spent 8 years in Future Grace, which when I finally finish this video, I'm going to ask that final question. After all this discussion, why do you think I spent 8 years of Future Grace? As you look at this, I felt, I have never before felt that every action that we do here at church is under scrutiny and is willing to be thrown out. I've told you before, there is no organism. We borrowed almost everything you've seen here was being practiced and done and was normal around us. It's not something we created. Then what happened? And why does everybody start going, well, that's your opinion. You're doing that. You just think yours is better than ours. Yes, there's always been squabbles, but there was a foundation for saying, if we're in Christ, if we have the Spirit, it is there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. I told one of you again about when growing up in New Hampshire, and Dad will be glad to talk about that all day long, about we had Nazarenes that would come in for the summer. There was a woman, a Pentecostal preacher that had retired and just said, I'm not here to cause trouble about the charismatic movement. The Spirit of God is in this place. Can I be a part? And he loves to talk about how she was not a trouble. She was a joy. She didn't cause dissension and anything. There was everything you're talking about. What in the world happened? So it's like, oh, well, you believe that? Well, then you're wrong. Well, you believe that? You're wrong. And everybody is focused somewhere else. What is it? What is the path? Stan and I have had that talk a long time. Can you be a Christian and be a member of the Pike Church? And you go back and forth on different things. You go, well, yes, but, yes, no, you can't. At what point is the gospel so obscured that it's no longer the gospel? And that's what we're talking, that's where that whole circumcision thing comes. That's why he gets so wound up. It is not just little, oh, well, let's just argue about Calvinism debate. He said, you have ripped apart the core of our identity. You have ripped apart. So therefore, the Holy Spirit's work is something now that you're producing. Now, that's a tricky one, and we have to pick through here. But back to what Tracy's saying, I told you, I've never read the book. It's on my list, but John Piper's Finally Alive book says it starts out, every work of God that's taken place has started with people going back and re-examining the gospel and finding maybe we weren't even saved. So I don't know. I'm not God. You're not God. Are you saved? But we're going to have to go back and check our passports. It's part of it for all of us. We're all part of the problem, as well as God mercifully saving, just like those Galatian believers. Come on, boys and girls. You know, Paul's saying, you have started right. Now walk in the Spirit. That's all we're saying. And in the meantime, we're all going to be like, well, I just don't think we should wear lipstick on Saturdays. It's like, well, okay, I guess. And you go, well, that's dumb. Well, I promise somebody thinks something that you think is God-fearing is unnecessary. I promise. Where are they? Well, I knew why I didn't connect with them. Now we got to get back and say, if this is the same Holy Spirit, well, then let's let the Holy Spirit keep working in all of us until he brings us back. Lord Jesus, would you help as we try to uncover this? I get in the way with my personality and methods. What Tracy was saying is it's amazing that we can all hear this. That blew me away with Stan's relative. I wasn't trying to prove they weren't yours. I don't even know. I was trying to care for them, and I felt a relief, a freedom from the problems we were talking about because of their view of you. Lord Jesus, would you help us to sit in these things, not to beat ourselves up, but to be found in you? To recognize we're not just our own life and our own experiences. We're part of the gospel that was not only preached, but was lived around us. Please help us not to be so disenchanted that we believe that you can't get us to where you want us from where we're at. Would you help us to look to you? Would you change our affections? And slowly, will you bring us to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man? for the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. We come in Jesus' name. Amen.